This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your generosity. You can give and support Grace by going to gracelutheran1.org/give or by clicking on the link in the show description. Thank you for your support.
Have you ever played the game Jenga before? If you haven't, it's a really fun game. It's a game where you gather different rectangular blocks and form them into a tower. And each person playing the game takes an opportunity trying to remove one of the blocks without having the top tower topple over. The person who removes a block and causes the tower to topple over loses the game. I share this story because at times it feels like life is like the game of Jenga. All of us have different responsibilities. All of us have things we need to do, things we need to take care of, and these are like blocks in the Jenga game. And like Jenga, we try to keep these blocks in an orderly fashion so our lives stay upright. But at times, we realize that our lives are not as secure as we'd like. We realize that maybe there's pieces that are in the wrong place or pieces of our life that are missing altogether. And it leaves us feeling stressed out and anxious and incomplete, wondering if we're doing the right thing at all. If your life feels like a game of Jenga, if your life feels like it is on the brink of toppling over, this scripture reading is particularly important for you. You see, because all of us have many responsibilities in our life, and it's hard at times to figure out how to prioritize those responsibilities. What comes first as the foundation, and what comes last at the top. But our scripture reading today reminds us of an important thing, that if we're a Christian, our lives are not about balancing many things, but about keeping one thing in its proper place. And the scriptures tell us that if we simply keep that one thing in the place where it is supposed to be, it will put everything else in its right place. In our scripture reading today, Jesus is preaching to his old adversaries. We've been covering them a lot these last few weeks. They are the religious leaders, the Pharisees. These are the opponents of Jesus, and they want nothing more to get rid of Jesus. And Jesus tells them and the rest of the people that are gathered around him a story, a parable, if you will. He tells them a story about a landowner who built some land, built a vineyard, and then gave it to workers to take care of. This is supposed to be a metaphor for how God created the world and our involvement in it. God created the world, created everything that we see, everything that we experience, and gave us the world to take care of. Well, these tenants, these people who are renting the owner's land in the story, begin not to listen to the owner. And when the owner comes to collect his rent through servants, one by one, those servants are rejected. This is a metaphor for what has happened throughout history from the time God created the world up until the life and ministry of Jesus. You see, if you read the Old Testament, you see very often there are attempts made by God to set things right between him and humanity. God sends kings and prophets and teachers of all kind. And while these kings and prophets and teachers are often listened to for a while, eventually every one of them in the Old Testament is either rejected or ignored. Now we come to the third and the final part of the story, the part where the landowner decides not to simply send servants to the tenants, but sends his own son, thinking, certainly if they listen to anybody, they will listen to my son. Well, tragically, in the story, the son is killed by the tenants. This, of course, is meant to represent and symbolize Jesus. God sent Jesus into the world to share his message with us, to preach the good news to us, to teach us what it means to live a meaningful life. What do the people do with Jesus? They eventually reject him and kill him on the cross. But the story does not end there, because in the story, Jesus says that the stone that the builders have rejected has become the cornerstone. The stone that the builders have rejected has become the cornerstone. Now, the cornerstone is Jesus. What Jesus is essentially saying to these opponents of his is, you will get rid of me. You will get rid of me in spectacular fashion. You will think you're being wildly successful because I'm going to go to the cross and die, and I know it. But my rejection will become the cornerstone for the new world, not only for a short period of time, but for all time. What Jesus is essentially saying is that he is the foundation of everything. That even though he was crucified and died, he was resurrected. And now because of that resurrection, he is the foundation for all things that are and all things that will ever be. You see, what this scripture reading is meant to teach us is something very important. That Jesus must be the cornerstone of our life. That our lives are full of activity, are full of important responsibilities. But if they do not rest on Jesus, if we're not doing those things through Jesus, we are like a building that is set to crumble. We are like that Jenga game that falls apart. But so often we get distracted by so many things that we forget the most important thing. I'd like to share another parable with you. Once upon a time, there was a man who lived before fire was invented. Everybody lived in the cold and the dark. And this man one day discovered fire. And so he spent his life going around to villages and cities and towns, teaching as many people as he could about fire. And because they discovered fire, their lives were changed. They survived the winter. They were able to cook food and stay warm. One day, that man who created fire died. And so what they did is they took all his tools that he used to show people how to make fire, and they put them on an altar. They built him a place of worship, and every single week they would come and they would worship the tools of this man. They would worship the tools and would give thanks for the tools of the creator of fire. But in their worship, there was one thing missing: the fire. I tell that story to you today because we have many tools at our disposal to make our lives better and the lives of those around us better. And these tools are gifts, and these tools are important, but they're nothing without the fire. And the fire in our life has been and always needs to be Jesus Christ. You see, as Christians, we have a faith that is completely unique from every other faith in the world. See, most religions, they follow first and foremost a set of laws, a set of teachings, if you will. Other religions follow a prophet or a founder, a historical figure, if you will. But in our faith, we say that we worship a living God, a God who lived here on earth in Jesus Christ, and a God who is not dead, but still lives with us today. Jesus says at another point in the Gospels, "Remember, I am with you always until the end of time." But too often we don't realize that. Too often we don't appreciate that. Too often we feel like we are on our own, and we try to build our towers, if you will, with very little success. We struggle not because we don't have all the tools. We struggle because we've forgotten the cornerstone. And so the answer to putting everything in its right place The answer to living life with a sense of clarity, purpose, and peace is to make Jesus the cornerstone of our life. And so you may be asking yourself the question, how do I make Jesus the cornerstone of my life? What does that mean for me? And what does that look like? Well, there's a couple different things. First thing is, each and every day, share your heart with Jesus. Before you begin any task, before you begin any routine, if you will, share your heart with Jesus. And share your heart in such a way that recognizes that Jesus isn't just a historical figure, or Jesus isn't an idea, but that Jesus is a living person. That Jesus is as present as he was 2,000 years ago. Jesus is present in your heart. And we know that because he has made that promise. Share your heart openly, honestly with Jesus, as you would with a close friend, a close family member. Pour everything on your mind out to him. And after you do that, ask him to make your heart right. Ask him to align your heart with his. And then after you do that, do everything that you do for him and through him. You are a parent at home or a grandparent. Lead the children in your life as if Jesus were standing right next to you, because he is. Maybe you're an employer of some kind. Maybe you're an employee of some kind. Do your work as if Jesus is standing right next to you, because he is. Maybe you serve an organization of some kind. Maybe you serve a church of some kind. Do everything that you're doing for that organization, for that cause, for that ministry, as if Jesus is standing right next to you. The scriptures say to us, let everything be said and done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May you do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May you take some time every single day to set Jesus as the cornerstone, to allow him to be a strong foundation for the many things, the many responsibilities, the many bricks in your life that you need to set. Because if you set him in the right place, everything else will be in its right place. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram at GLC_Richmond. If you need anything at all, you can reach out to us by email. Our email is office@gracelutheran1.org. May God continue to bless you.